Okay, so from great compassion, the thing with great compassion is that great compassion is for all sentient beings, okay? And so sometimes they split fine hairs and they talk about the difference between an arhat and a bodhisattva, because arhats have compassion and love, but bodhisattvas have much greater compassion and love. And so this is for those of you who like to split hairs, that the arhats have compassion for limitless sentient beings, but not for all sentient beings. And the difference being that when you go to the beach out here, the beach has limitless grains of sand, but not all grains of sand. Okay? So that's the kind of thing that they say. Another way that they differentiate this into the compassion of an arhat and the compassion of a bodhisattva is that an arhat wants sentient beings to be free from suffering, but a bodhisattva is willing, wants him or herself actually save them from the suffering. Okay, so there's more involvement on the part of the bodhisattvas. So other people describe the difference as that the arhats would have love and compassion, but they wouldn't have the sixth step, which is the great determination. And the great determination is this willingness to involve oneself in the actual process of liberating others. And so here, this point isn't a splitting hairs. It isn't like the difference between limitless and all, although there is a big difference between limitless and all, isn't there? Yeah, but they say that the difference between having compassion and having this next step, the sixth step, the great determination, is that with compassion, you wish others to be free of suffering and its causes, but with the great determination, you are going to act upon it, you're going to do something about it. So it's the difference between standing at the edge of the swimming pool saying, somebody's drowning, jump in and save him, and jumping in yourself. So there's a big difference there, a real big difference. So with the great determination, there's this real willingness to bear all the difficulties that come from getting involved with sentient beings. Yeah. And as we all know, sentient beings can be very difficult. Yeah, but with the great determination, there's so much love and compassion before it that the mind is happy to get involved. There's a complete sense of engagement. Now, I'm going to do something. I'm going to act. Okay? So there's a difference between this and the wish to repay the kindness of sentient beings, the third step, wanting to repay the kindness of our mothers, okay? Because wanting to repay the kindness is wanting to repay the kindness. Great determination is I'm going to repay the kindness. So somebody made the analogy that it's the difference between kind of shopping around and thinking of what to buy and closing a deal. Yeah? But when you want to repay the kindness of mother sentient beings, then you kind of want to. It's like you're shopping around, but with the great determination, you're closing the deal. There's a decision, there's an action. Your energy's going in one direction. It becomes very powerful. And then from there, because of that great determination, that, you know, it's like when you really care so much about somebody that you want to free them from suffering, then you're going to do everything you possibly can to do that. You know, kind of when somebody else's pain is so close to your own heart, you're going to search for every possible method to stop that other person's pain. And so you might start to learn more things, do more things that you wouldn't normally do, because you recognize that you have to gain the skills in order to, you know, help that person that you care so deeply about. So that's the analogy in this particular case here. When you have, you know, the great love and great compassion for all sentient beings, and you want to free them from their suffering and give them the happiness, both temporal and ultimate, then we start to look around, well, how can I do this? I mean, I'm just little old me. I can't even control my own mind. How can I liberate all sentient beings from samsara? I can't even liberate myself. I can't even keep my own mind peaceful for one day. I can't even keep my own mind peaceful for 1 hour, 1 minute. So it's like, if I really care about sentient beings, I'm going to have to get off my butt and do something here. Okay? So we look at the situation and say, you know, in my present situation, how can I benefit sentient beings? Now, if my own mind's a mess and I try and benefit somebody else, I'm just going to be, you know, my own mess is going to be contagious. You know, I'll make messes in their lives. So from here we start looking, well, who has their trip together? Who's together? Who doesn't make messes in other people's lives? Who has the strength of mind to go through with all these things of helping others? Who has the wisdom to know how to help others? Who has the skill in knowing what the right thing to do at the right time? Who has the consistency to keep doing it to helping sentient beings? And so when we look around, you know, for who it is who has that ability to keep benefiting sentient beings long term with skill and compassion and wisdom, we see it's only the Buddha. Only the Buddha has that ability. Mother Teresa is completely incredible, and she can liberate sentient beings from dying on the streets and from starvation and from loneliness. But can she liberate them, or is she showing the manifestation? I mean, maybe Mother Teresa is a Buddha, I don't know, so I'm just talking ordinary appearance. You know, in that kind of thing, is that able, you know, is that present way the ability to lead all sentient beings to enlightenment or not? Okay. So we really have to see that it's benefiting sentient beings isn't just a case of putting band-aids on bad situations and fixing bad situations. But really benefiting sentient beings is giving them the tools so that, first of all, they can abandon negative karma and create positive karma, and in that way keep themselves out of the lower realms so that they can, you know, themselves generate love and compassion and realize emptiness so that they can protect themselves from samsara and, you know, from getting stuck in any way. Okay, so we really come to see that enlightenment or Buddhahood is the thing that's the state of mind that is the has the complete ability to, you know, to benefit others without any hindrance from one's own side. You know, there's still going to be hindrance from other people's side, but at least from our side, if we try and help, there won't be hindrance. And so the same way with the Buddha's now, from the Buddha's side, there's no hindrance in helping us. From our side, there's lots of hindrance. You know, it's like the Buddha's calling us on the phone and we don't pick up the phone. Yeah. So, What we do here is, you know, due to the force of the love and the compassion and the determination, then we generate the bodhicitta, the altruistic intention to become a Buddha, so that we can be most effective in benefiting others. And so that's where the bodhicitta comes from. And so they say that, you know, when you generate the bodhicitta, that's when you really enter into the path of accumulation of the Mahayana path, where you really start on the direct path to enlightenment. That's when you start the first of the three countless gradients. The countless gradients, they say that Shakyamuni Buddha accumulated merit for three countless gradients. Yeah? Don't ask me how many years that is. You know, but you start the process of the three countless gradients when you first generate the full bodhicitta. And so what is Okay, when we have like a conscious thought, you say when we have a conscious thought to obtain enlightenment for the benefit of others, that's like tasting the bark of sugar cane. You know, it's like, what's an example here? It's like on the outside of the frozen yogurt package, you know. It's like holding the frozen yogurt pack. Okay? And when you spontaneously generate the bodhicitta, okay, so it's not just this conscious wish to attain enlightenment for the benefit of others, but when you spontaneously generate that every time you see somebody, so every time you see the cat or the dog or all these little gnats flying around nowadays, whenever you see your boss, whenever you, you know, whenever you see Gaddafi, whenever, you know, that spontaneously in your mind comes the thought, I want to attain enlightenment in order to liberate these beings. Okay? And so that kind of spontaneous thing, you know, they say it's so powerful in the mind. So it's such a transformative thing. You know, I mean, and it's sometimes interesting to sit and think about it sometimes. What would it be like to be a bodhisattva? You know, what would it actually feel like to wake up? And I mean, this is a good thing just to kind of visualize and fantasize about, and, you know, what would it feel like, and use your imagination. You know, what would it feel like just to kind of wake up in the morning and feel really happy about life and think, wow, my life is so meaningful because I can use today to benefit sentient beings. And what would it be like that, you know, when you got up in the morning, you know, and the cat leapt on your leg and grabbed onto that, you thought, I want to lead him out of suffering and, you know, into enlightenment. And what would it be like when you went out of the house and there's all these gnats flying in your face? You know, or when you're driving on the highway and somebody cuts you off, or you get in the office and your boss, you know, dumps on you, to just have the spontaneous thing, I want to attain enlightenment for the benefit of these sentient beings. These people are so precious. You know, I really want to benefit them. And just thinking, what would it be like to have that kind of approach to life? I think we'd probably be a whole lot happier than we are now. You know, and yet it's so funny, isn't it? That even though, you know, if we had the wish to benefit others, we ourselves would be so much happier than we are now. I mean, in spite of that, what do? We just keep thinking about ourselves and how to make ourselves happy. And we spend all this time just thinking about how to make ourselves happy, and we never get happy. We never become happy. We just keep going around in circles. You know, I want this and I can't have it. I want that and I can't have it. I don't want these people. I don't know. Why don't these people do something? You know, how come everybody treats me? Nobody appreciates me. You know, and like, we try so hard to make ourselves happy. We never succeed. And yet we'd be so much happier ourselves if we just had this open-hearted, loving compassion for others. We think we were masochists. Either that or we were dumb. But it's like you can begin to see this way. There's just, you know, like a slight shift in the mind. Just a different shift in the mind from cherishing self to cherishing others. And it's like everything in your whole life experience completely, you know, upside down, you know? And everything just looks totally different.